So, the quorum being present, maybe we have the roll call.
Sure. I have our latest list of members of the task force. So I'll just read them off here. Gary Ehrenberg. Bob Chris.
Present.
Present. Tim Cusick.
Present.
Mark Holly.
Present.
Eric Karch is present. Bobette Patton.
Present.
Eric Stein. Todd Thompson. John Tiemann.
Present.
And Rosalind Williams. That's six of us, so we have a quorum.
Excellent. And to the minutes from the last meeting, I believe you all got a copy, I think, that Gary sent. Is anybody wanted read? Are there any amendments to the? Any discussion over it? The chair will entertain a motion.
Ah, Eric Stein is present now.
It has been motioned by Tim Cusick. A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Second.
All right. Should we have, I'm doing this rather informally because this probably should come up under new business, but should we put the council liaison in the future before or after citizens' comments?
I don't think there's a format that it has.
I don't think there is either.
I would offer an amendment to the agenda to add that.
Yes, at this point.
Yes.
Okay. Any discussion? Motion? To add it to the, add it permanently to the agenda.
Yes.
Do I have a motion to add it permanently to the agenda?
I'd like to make a motion to, is Eric, to add council, what is it?
Council liaison.
Council liaison report. To the agenda. We'll put it on item 3. Why not?
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Citizens' comments or no citizens? Well, I mean, we're all citizens, but other than us. Now we come to the part where we have varying reports. Subcommittee status updates. Shall I just run down the list of subcommittees at this point? How about neighboring community data? Any reports to be made? Survey subcommittee.
I put a draft of the section in the report to council of the survey and how it was acquired and kind of conclusions and so on and so forth. As part of the graphics in Google Earth, I found some overlays that actually had elevation contours from USGS in there. So you've got to kind of blow up things in Google Earth to take a look at it. But it does have those in there, and you can kind of see what you would say from what we've done so far, the usual suspect areas where they've had flows of water and things like that, they become pretty evident there. So I thought that was kind of an added feature, and those are the graphics that I put in the draft.
So elevations were added to the spreadsheet, is that what you said?
No, to the Google Earth map.
Oh, okay.
Stormwater ordinance subcommittee. I'm presuming we didn't have any questions or anything. Okay. Ordinance subcommittee. Any discussion, additions? Identify stormwater sources and prioritization. A lot of this work is actually really hard getting done. Early warning.
Just a couple of things. You recall when Paul was here at the last meeting, we had some discussion about crystallizing a description of what kind of IT help we need. And so we've done that, and that's been turned into the city. I guess the other thing is Gary is in the process of trying to set up an appointment with Jeff Shiner and myself and Bob Chris. Jeff Shiner is the person that's in charge of rain gauge for MSD. And he's the guy that has given us access to the rain gauge data here in University City. And so we want to thank him for that, but also we have a number of questions for him, primarily surrounding the idea of trying to go real time now as opposed to just historical data, and as well as the fact that they are also mixing radar data with rain gauge. So we want to pick his brain and get some idea from him, informally at least, of the extent to which MSD might want to partner or at least give us permission to access their gauges real time. Anything to add, Bob?
Nothing to add on that. I would mention, probably you that have seen any news of late, there was an extraordinary flash flood in Crestwood just last Wednesday, and some cars were washed down the road. Those guys got 2 inches of rain. I use your Weather Underground sites and actually got some data from down there, and they had as much as 2 inches of rain in a half hour.
Wow.
And that watershed's the same size as ours. So it...
We'd be in trouble here if we had that.
It's real interesting. It's look up Flash Flood Crestwood, and it just last...
I was out of town. I'm not aware of that.
Very interesting. Flood, very quick. Just another example of how these small basins can respond to heavy rain. Not just us.
The four biggest events we've had here have been above 1.75 inches in 75 minutes. I mean, 30 minutes.
Well, if we had that much rain, it would have been a significant event here. That's for sure.
Thank you. I do have a question. So you did submit something about an IT, like an estimate of an IT to
this. It's a job description.
Job description.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think we put it out for the committee to see. We could very easily put it in the Dropbox.
Okay. Yeah. I was just curious where that ended up. Gotcha. So I know we haven't gotten to the council liaison report, but I know that was something that Dr. Carr had asked about. And so perhaps when we get to that agenda item, you can speak to what part of her questions were addressed by what you submitted or and what remain, I guess.
I suppose that would be under new business. I mean, I don't know why you shouldn't bring it up just right now.
I mean, we made the motion and approved it to add that into the agenda, so maybe now is the time since it's directly applicable.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, well, I do not actually have... you have the
email.
Dr. Carr's email?
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, perhaps you can.
The third paragraph, when it talks about the early warning system, it says, should the task force get to the point where you are ready to install an early warning system, there's currently funding for acquisition of the rain gauges or rain gauge system. While the task force is not yet ready, there is possibly funding for the hiring of a consultant to complete the work of the stormwater task force identified in your final report. And there is $200,000 that is set aside. She also talks about the possibility of hiring someone to complete your report on the algorithms for the reporting.
Yeah, I was slightly confused, Tim, if I can interject. By that letter, the first paragraph suggests that the IT person should be no problem.
Right. Correct.
And then the last sentence of that email, I actually think refers to further work beyond that.
Right.
Rather than the IT person themselves.
Well, I think that the letter says that there's money available now for an IT person.
Right.
And then once the IT person has done that and this task force has submitted a final report, we could put information.
For additional work.
Yeah.
For additional
right.
work.
Yeah, that the money
right.
is available.
Thank
or if we had something else that we wanted to look at that may be necessary that we need to spend the money on. To hire a consultant to look at rain gauge issues, something like that, I think.
Or even if we have that well in hand, there's still a whole thing of a system integration that, mm-hmm. you know, where does this data come into and how is it processed and how are warning issues? So there will be plenty left to do if the basic scientific questions are answered. There will still be some.
Yeah, I think what this is saying is there's money now for us to look at an IT person to do what we need to do now to come up with our results. And then for anything down the road after the report is finished to make recommendations that money should be available for any recommendations we may have to the full council.
Right. And very interestingly, she raised the issue of perhaps even buying our own rain gauge stations. Yeah. And that's one of the things that we really need to, that's one of the key questions mm-hmm. we need in meeting with Jeff Shiner. Would MSD like to cooperate with us in some way that we could use? I know they have some reservations. They say that system is not designed for real-time use. It's a research system. Would they be willing, you know, to let us use it if we gave them an appropriate waiver of liability mm-hmm. as inputs to a real-time mm-hmm. system? But if not, we're starting to collect information on rain gauge and rain gauge data platforms. We know what they're using, mm-hmm. and they're small, wireless, fairly inexpensive units, the telemeter. So it's not beyond the city's capability to, I don't think, to buy that equipment if we need to, but let's see what MSD is willing to do first.
Right.
What's
there
going to be an RFP for that person?
She said that if the money has been allocated already, we may not have to do an RFP.
She made the statement to me, too, it was perhaps a small enough amount,
but
that would not be necessary.
Okay.
Well, I guess we'll get a better one. I don't think we entered the recruiting phase yet. We need to take that now and start looking for someone.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, by the feedback we get from that, we'll get some idea what it's...
If Bob's got some starving students that...
I'm emeritus.
I mean, my understanding is, I guess, you know, you've submitted a sort of a job description for what this IT person is going to do, sort of a scope of work, almost.
Exactly.
And it seems to me the course of action is to have, perhaps at this point, one IT person that maybe we have identified or maybe not, but have one person give an idea of what that is going to cost. And then based on the cost of that, we'll know whether it's exceeded a point where we need to go out and get bids or what have
right.
you.
Right, I think that's excellent. Right.
Does the city require us to have at least three applicants, you know, that sort of thing, like we have a bid?
If it exceeds a certain amount, and I don't know what that threshold is for universities.
25,000, I believe.
Okay.
There's no way it's going to exceed that. Now, you know, we guess, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. We're just guessing. We don't know. It's an excellent point. We need a consultant to hire the consultant.
Well,
I'm joking, but we do need some idea. Here's the scope from an IT person. Okay, here's roughly what kind of time or effort is going to be involved to do something like that. So we know how much money we're looking at.
If you do have a description of work, it would not be impossible to put that out for at least a conceptual rough order of magnitude estimate. Those are the kinds of things
that
contractors put together every day
without necessarily
knowing that they're going to get the work. But
they would just have this stuff handy,
I would think they would have some sort of model for kind of putting that in there. You know, some concrete guy, he's going to go in and if you're asking him to do it right away, and I would think that the IT consulting would be somewhat along that line where they've got a certain checklist to go through of what they think is the needs for that. And, you know, it would be a rough order of magnitude thing, so it might be plus or minus 100%, but at least at that point in time, we know whether we're talking a couple of thousand or a couple of tens of thousands.
Right.
You know? And then you have a little bit better idea how to pursue things.
And you're thinking the city would make sense. You're thinking the city would coordinate that, or we should do that.
We would put it out
as a committee, or
for the city's own hiring. That's what we do. I mean, you know, it needs to be out there for a few weeks, and you know, people will then apply. Contractor hiring is sometimes a little different. We can still post it to the city's website, and so that you know the interested parties can observe it there and then apply. What we receive normally is similar to what Mark described. You know, rate, there's a rate, well, the consultants price it that way, and then the number of hours required. But then, you know, the job description as well as the job scope, I think, will be important for that to be determined. So we can hire somebody, but then we need to know how many hours we're going to work that person for us to come up with that bottom line price.
That's what we don't know, is an estimate of how many hours it's going to take this person to do the scope of work.
Right.
Have you seen the scope of work?
No, I gave it
to Paulette, and I think she showed it to Mr. Rose. I think it's been approved, but I should have brought copies tonight, but I certainly post it tonight. That's definitely written and fairly specifically,
yeah.
Right down to the specific tasks that need to be performed.
Yeah. Another, you know, quicker way of doing this is these firms like Aerotech, you know, they place people, but then they have a cut out of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that we would be paying for their service as the intermediary. And so I don't think we need necessarily that, but, you know, that's a way to get quick placement.
So, because I haven't seen the scope yet, I guess I'm not too clear on how it's been phrased. But what we're talking about, an IT person, is this? Do we think this is going to be more of a? You know, when I think IT, I'm thinking of someone who's logistically going to say, okay, they're not developing the data that you're giving them. Here's a certain amount of data or source of data, right? So in this case, perhaps it's real-time data. So here's the way data will be transmitted. Take that now and convert that into a way that can then be distributed electronically on a mass basis to the community. Is that what we're going for? I don't even really know I don't know what kind of IT person we're looking for, I guess. Did you guys have that conversation? Or
yes.
Not yet? Oh, you did.
It's very specific.
Okay.
I apologize for not bringing a copy of that with me. I should be sure.
So is that in the early warning folder?
It will be tonight.
So I guess it's a little unclear at this point whether this is something that if the task force is going to directly contact an IT person, or whether this is something that we would like to advertise on the city. We haven't made that decision, right?
Apparently, no, we haven't. We haven't talked about what to do with this. No, we could at the very least we could post it on the city website. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could certainly do that. Now. Beyond that, I'm not sure where to go. That should be a good first start. Unless, should we approach the CS department at Wash U, to think?
Well, this is fine. And the computer science and engineering groups probably have excellent people. I recommend we not do this through Wash U. A Wash U student identified would be great. But if we do it through Wash U, they're going to want overhead and all their administrative garbage. We will be with their help.
You've got to pay for those emeritus.
Oh, yes, well.
Bob, is there a way we can post this and bring it to attention, to the attention of CS students, but not through an official university posting of some kind?
Just stick it up on a bulletin board.
I mean, I do know of a couple different, you know, what I call IT, computer science, design development type firms I could talk to, but I don't want to overstep my place either, you know. But if I had the job description, I could at least run it by them and say, is this something you're at all interested in? At this point, all we're trying to do is get an idea what the cost is going to be, and then we'll, you know, however we get that cost, we can bring it back to the group and say, okay, here's where the cost is going to be. Is this something we're willing to bear, yay or nay? Okay, and then we decide to move forward. It seems like that's the path.
Once you see the description, I think, of course. Actually, I've done that. I have a friend who works for the water company, and he actually is in charge of about 20 people that actually do remote data acquisition and processing, and he thinks he may be able to come up with some people
seems like we have enough informal avenues to go down. You know, we can get something reasonable to start.
So do we need a motion there then to, through our own personal networks, solicit a general cost estimate for an IT person to do this work? Should we, is that motion worthy?
As an English teacher, I'm not sure how many conditional phrases there are. We could maybe get somebody who couldn't possibly know somebody.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Worded,
I would like to make a motion that we open this scoping phase up to the committee members to solicit a general cost estimate from their personal network of IT people. To bring back to the community, or to the committee for consideration.
I will second that.
Can we add on to that to also post the description on the city website?
Yes.
Yes.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is carried. It'll be up to you to write it.
Yeah.
Whatever it was we disagreed.
I'll put that in word.
With all those conditional. So what would that be? A compound complex? Is that the ablative echo?
We are encouraging committee members to use their personal contacts.
Yes.
To solicit responses to this AM.
Well said. Thank you. Thank you, actually. I'm joking about that, but we should have that wording correctly. Any more discussion under early morning? Funding? Any discussion under funding? Okay, let's move on in the agenda items then to unfinished business. We have an item here about the final report.
I would offer, I guess, that I was not at the June committee meeting, but I was at the May committee meeting, and that was the meeting at which Gary Ehrenberg, who drafted the outline for the report, presented that outline. And I think at that meeting we created another committee to to flesh that report out. I know I offered to be on that committee. I am not aware. Is anyone aware that that committee has met or no? I don't think so. Okay. So I think at this stage we need to make a meeting to do that. Gary's not here. I know he certainly would like to be on that committee too. And so I guess I will reach out to Gary to set up a meeting. Would anyone else like? We can copy everyone so that you're aware that meeting's happening, and if you'd like to attend, you can attend.
Did we set up a formal, I kind of forget, honestly, did we set up a formal membership for that subcommittee?
We did not.
I thought his expectation was, A, each of the subcommittees were going to work on their section
for
a draft, which was why I pursued doing the survey thing since I had done it. Then the overall report committee was to kind of blend that in and or offer perhaps changes to the outline. I used his outline and wrote to that. So it's like the starting document for that part in there. So, I think that's what it was. So worrying about that committee may be premature until all these drafts of subcommittee areas are done.
That's my recollection, too. I'm looking at the minutes now for May, and it says, under new business, report. After a brief discussion about the task force report, it was decided that the next meeting, we should appoint a subcommittee to draft the report. So that would have been June, would be the next meeting at that time. So I didn't see any mention of that in particular in the minutes for June, so it seems that that item has kind of shifted until today then. So if we're following up on the minutes from May, then it seems we should appoint a subcommittee to draft the report. I think that's where we're at. So I will, because I know Gary wrote the draft outline for the report, and I know that he and I talked at that meeting about working together on the subcommittee. I know at least the two of us would like to do it. Would anyone else like to join that subcommittee, or do you want to? You can do it at a later time.
I would be happy to, since I'm the resident writer here.
Okay, great. That'd be great.
And the English teacher.
So that's perfect. So
Gary, and John. This is the thing that we would be reporting out to the.
Yes. And certainly, as Mark Holly pointed out, I mean, the subcommittees are going to be submitting their reports to be incorporated into that report, for sure.
But I'm not sure we have a, for each of the subcommittees, that everybody has kind of a lead person in their thing, at least not since we've kind of shrunk down in terms of membership. So what might be is to kind of take a look at these things, and at least the membership that's here, can somebody take
ownership
for some of those things? Because we've gone kind of 2 months without a product, and it probably to have anything to work on to synthesize, need to get some work on some of those other. Because I know, I didn't do a lot on like the neighboring community data, and I know that other folks have. And we're not looking for a huge amount, like a page or so, but if somebody could kind of take the flag for each one of those subcommittees.
That's a good idea.
Or at least some of them.
Yeah.
So we can.
John, do you want to read through the list of reports?
Okay, so the neighborhood community data subcommittee is Tim, Babette, Angelica, who's actually no longer a member, and Eric.
And you?
It says I'm on there. I've never been part of that committee.
Okay.
I don't know why. Somehow, certain, institutions, when your name gets on something, it stays forever.
Yeah. Okay.
But I've never been part of that committee. I was on the.
I think where that committee went was basically looking at what other communities had done. And so what did Ladue do, and what did Grieve Corps do, and what kind of data did they assemble? And I know I've sat in with that committee before. Gary was on that list too, right? Yeah.
No, not on the neighborhood data.
Okay.
It's Tim, Babette, Angelica, and Eric Kirsch.
Okay. I will.
I thought I had something that I had printed out, so I'll see if I have something.
Okay.
If I have something, I'll shoot it out to you, too.
Okay. So that would be. And these are. You're agreeing, I guess, to forward information to the subcommittee on the report?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
To look at, so we can come up with something that we want to submit to the actual final report.
And since if somebody, I spent a lot of time trying to put it in the right format, so
send it to you.
Because I got a brand new computer, and a lot of my defaults that I had on my old computer, like just using Word and getting it, all the menus in the place that I'm used to having. That took me a while, even though you'd say elementary, but it takes a while to kind of remember how to do all that. But since I'm familiar with it, if anybody has stuff that they can draft the verbiage in there using maybe the Gary's outline as kind of a template on what needs to be in each of those, then I could do the fusion, as it were, and then then somebody like John, I would say, ought to be the editorial commenter, because I'm sure there are better things than the way I worded them and things like that. I think no pride of ownership there, so there are things that need to get clarified or anything like that. But it really really seems like moving the ball on getting that report done is really the nice thing, because we were really looking for that to be submitted before September.
All right, so Tim's on neighborhood community data. What's the next one?
Survey, which is survey committee, which is myself, Mark, and Gary, Linda, Shark, Taylor being no longer.
Yeah, and I've done that already.
Yeah, there's a lot of this that's kind of been done, or at least various parts. So the ordinance is me, Bob, and Tim, Bob, and myself. Now we've gone along pretty long way to write that already.
We had two documents that we kind of created out of that group. One was a list of basically specific ordinances that we saw in other communities, mm-hmm. and how we might apply them to our community. And then the second was sort of the I think we were calling it. It was more of a verbal description of the intent of what we were trying to achieve. So we have two different documents there. So we can.
Do you still have those?
I have those.
So you can send those to Mark then.
Yeah, I will take that one. Okay, I got that one.
All right. Stormwater. Stormwater sources and prioritization. This was. Let's see who's still here. Gary, is Gloria still among?
No.
And Gary, Linda Sharp Taylor is no longer here. Mark is here. Angelica no longer is here. Rosalind is no longer here. And the two Erics.
Yeah, I'm gonna put Gary's name on that. Ooh, what doesn't he wish he was here? No, in all seriousness, no.
I will suck in that motion.
He was sort of leading the prioritization aspect.
If I'm missing his name, he's on the list.
Yeah, I'm gonna put his name on there. He'll be okay with that.
So it's Gary, Mark, and Eric.
Yeah. Okay, what's the next one?
Early warning. And that's Mark, Eric Stein, and Gary Ehrenberg.
And Bob as a late addition.
Bob, yes, late addition. So you guys pretty much.
We're working on a number of these issues. We have several things we need answers for before we're ready to submit a final report, but we know what those things are. It's one of the reasons we want to talk to Jeff Shiner. If you need one name, you can put mine down as the coordinator of that, but we'll write it together.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you guys are well on your way, and you know what you're doing. Lastly is funding. That's Eric, Tim, and Gary.
I'll put my name on that. We have a report we already wrote.
Yeah, right.
It's done.
And we have this.
We can maybe update it with some of this latest information, but I'll put my name on that.
Should we really think about something, having a paper rough draft in front of us for markups at some point? When are we're intending on turning this thing in September, right?
Is that the case?
I think that's what we were hoping, and understanding that this is going to be an evolving document, this is going to be a living document, I think we've got to do our best to put something in there. I think, in particular, the early warning is something that's actively evolving.
It's evolving quickly, and I'm wondering, though, where we'll be ready in September. Of course, we can always just stop where we are and write a report based on what we know.
Well, I mean, we can also, there's no fixed date. I'm really thinking in terms of rough draft, literally rough draft. I'm thinking like a writer.
What are our recommendations that will influence the budget, right? That's what Paula and Drew have told us. We have finite time, and if we expect to get anything in the budget for next year, so if I get all of that information in the timely manner, that I've got a couple of weeks to blend it into a document that is formatted in the manner that Gary proposed the outline.
Yeah, a lot of it's been written in ordinance, which is long, but is really already hacked out. And I don't mean hacked in a negative sense. I mean, you know, roughed out.
I just don't know what the final draft was or anything like that. Or, you know, there may be something in the Dropbox already, whether that was the...
What's in the Dropbox, Mark, for the report is a two-page document that is an outline. It's headings and subheadings.
Okay.
That's what's in there. But to your point, as far as should we put a date down on preparing a draft for that, I think that's, you know, given that we're on the subcommittee, you and I, John, and Mark sounds like also for formatting, we'll have to get together as a committee and start putting it together. So I think it's incumbent upon all those who just agree to be committee leaders to just get that information into us as soon as they can, and we'll prepare it. And whether or not we can have a draft by a next meeting, maybe not, but we can try. Because here we are, it's July.
I was thinking August.
Yeah.
You know, or something.
Well, that would be the next meeting.
Oh, yeah, we're not having a meeting in...
It's July.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, let's shoot for having something for the August meeting for sure. And then we'll see in August whether we have it or not. But I'd like to... That's a good goal, right? Let's put it down as a goal.
Yeah, I'm really just thinking of sort of fixing the mind, you know, on having a, you know... I mean, I think it always helps. You know, to have a deadline, frankly, you know, because it sort of fixes you. And if in this is an informal enough endeavor, then if we don't like it, if we don't like it, then throw it out, do the next one, you know, that sort of thing.
It'll help us to about start talking about some of the big questions of, obviously, there's all these different things that need to be done. We're talking about doing some of them now, early warning, you know. We can start weighing the two, you know, all the different things we're talking about. When you think you have, you know, $100 million worth of stormwater projects, you know, obviously those are going to be done over some period of time. The early warning is something that benefits a large amount of people for a price that's well under $100 million. So it seems pretty obvious that falls out as a higher priority. But we should talk about those as a group, and maybe having that draft of the report will start to allow us to put some of those questions together and get answers.
Well, I'm also, again, I'm kind of thinking like a writer because, you know, putting such a document together by committee sounds like a good idea, but you could really have, what was it, the writer called it, a monster in a box? That may or may not be workable once you actually put it on in paper. Maybe more confusing.
That's why I suggested that if we can write the subsections and then I can put those in the document, continuity and whether it makes sense and all of that other stuff. Then it's sort of a free for all.
Then it's a free for all. Yeah, put it before the committee.
Well, given that
it'll be like I just saw 1776 at the Mutiny.
Yeah.
It was a free for all.
Or sort of like, you know, your doctoral dissertation. You know, you put it before the committee and it's like, we did all this work and you don't like it. What the hell?
I think we should, you know, whenever you write something, you keep in mind the audience, right? And
right.
Our audience is the council, in this case. Council reads a lot. They have a lot to read, and it needs to be concise but also carry the main points. And so I think if we keep that audience in mind, then we'll all be as brief as we can, you know, without being overly detailed, you know.
Well, we can put it in there with the details. And I think after the thing is done, then some sort of executive summary.
Yes, exactly.
Trying to put together what we need Tim et al. To do.
Yes, exactly.
Yep. And that's pretty much how this thing is structured now.
So
is
right
to have
now,
sort of appendices.
I guess our meeting would be on the 6th, would be the first meeting. So if I had something, preferably by Bastille Day, the 14th, which is a Sunday, but I know Bastille Day because I know hurricanes in New Orleans. Yeah, in about 2 weeks would be the 16th. That'd give me a couple of weeks to put it into the fusion, and hopefully I could do that in a week's time. But sometimes those things, when you're working with editing or trying to get things in the format,
some of those things, Mark, I think that's for a very achievable goal. Like I can say for the funding committee, that's no problem. Early warning committee, it's actively evolving, and to try to, you know, they're only going to be able to give you so much of that. So we don't want to make.
But even if there are sections in there with a heading like TBD,
right?
Yeah.
Help define what we need to fill in.
That was just my thought too. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I think that's perfectly, you know, you shoot us what you got. You know,
for a warning system, we could certainly tell you what the choices are on TV.
Yeah, it's exactly.
But again, my concern is that we really won't have fulfilled what we were asked to do unless we get that. And we've only got 2 months, so waiting for things to happen at meetings has not been too successful.
Fair point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're agreed that we'll have something on the order of a first draft by next year.
Yeah.
You know, with certain, certain parts obviously to be arranged still, to be worked out, and with the notion that it is an ongoing document. I think it also gives us something to show the council, honestly, because we've been at this for a while. And I think the council, deserves to have something, for obvious reasons to show that there's been progress. Because we've been doing a considerable amount of work.
We haven't produced many
documents.
She has periodically made announcements during council meetings that the task force has been meeting and making progress. So she has kept the council up to speed on that the task force has been meeting and has showing promising results, so it's not like the council hasn't heard anything.
Any more about the final report?
On the 16th, if I haven't heard from anybody, I will send you an egg note.
All right. Any more on new business? The next council item? Agenda item?
I think there are a couple items still on Dr. Carr's council liaison report that have not yet been addressed. Is that true, Tim?
Well, her first note was that the fiscal year 2019-20 budget, along with the resolution to maintain the existing allocation of $200,000 set aside for the work of the storm water task force. That means that there is funding to hire an IT consultant to assist with the complete the flood prediction algorithms for the early warning system. And about the early warning systems, and that was it. Because the relative small amount of funding estimated required for the hiring of an IT consultant, an RFP may not be necessary, but the task force should work through staff to determine the details and how to actually hire the necessary consultant, and that she can also assist with that. So if Sinan is going to post that on the city's website, and then like we all agreed that if we had no anyone that we could ask as well that could submit their bona fides.
Didn't she say something else about $750,000 for flood buyout, or is that a different?
That's in the minutes. The budget from the minutes of the June 4th meeting. That the proposed city budget contains $750,000 for the city's share of floodplain buyouts.
I see.
That was from the June meeting.
And those are intended to be matching funds if the feds come up with.
If the feds come up with money, they may have to come up with, they usually come up with 75% and the university's getting 25%, but it's our understanding, and Sanaa maybe have more information, that there's no money at the federal level right now. So. We're not going to be seeing any help from the federal government in the near future.
At which point we all get really silent and try to stay as
nonpartisan
as we can possibly be. any other further items?
I unfortunately don't know the date. Maybe Sanaa does, but it's my understanding that MSD is holding a community meeting to talk about the project that's getting ready to start. What are they? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, next Thursday.
Next Thursday?
It's going to be here on the south side, the area of Crixdale Avenue. The residents mostly are invited from that area. In fact, the notice was getting out today by the MSD's consultant to the residents. And another area included in that is the Grant Drive and the 82nd Boulevard. Some residents that live on those streets, the back area of those, the rear area of those residences is also included in the MSD project proposed alignment. So their project is, the alignment goes from the city limits at, the Mayflower and Spoon Drive, the Putter Mid-Iron Loop, those residences, Buyer Industrial Court from off of Olive. There's an alignment from on the rear of those residences from there out to McKnight Road and crosses McKnight Road. Then it's about right by the golf course there on the east side of McKnight Road. And the Root Park crosses the Root Park Woods from there to up to Crixdale. And from there it runs east out to past Coolidge. Right by the rear of those businesses on, along Olive, up to a point where the Lulu's is, I think, and then it makes a turn northwardly turn from there to cross Olive to the other side, and it meets the alignment meets the trunk line under the channel. There by the 82nd Boulevard, and right between the 82nd Boulevard and Grant Drive. And so that's the project that is coming up. And so the portion of the portion that crosses Olive is underground, it's a boring, so there's no open cuts there. Then it becomes an open cuts along the back of the businesses on Olive and Crixdale residences, and from there it goes into another shaft at the corner of McKnight Road and Crixdale Avenue, and another boring route from there, tunnel drilling down toward the golf course, another shaft there to bore across McKnight and the back of those residences on Mayflower Court and Mid-Iron Spoon Drive, Potter Lane, and leaves University City pretty much from that point. The construction sequence is starting from the 82nd Boulevard Grant Drive end, and it goes toward from east to west from there pretty much. And it's a large project. It's a two-year project. It's going to disrupt the residences on Crixdale Avenue, most of anybody else. Anywhere else, because that's an open cut. So the public meeting is scheduled, like Councilman Cusick said, for next Thursday at 7 p.m. on the south side here. It's a public open meeting, but its notices are directly sent to those residences by MSD's contractor. Gregory Rose put it on his council letter last week, as well as I think once we have the notice, copy of the notice from the consultant, will send that to the to Mr. Rosa's office, and I think he's going to share that with the council once again, especially those council members of those wards. It's it traverses Ward 3 as well as Ward 1 in that area.
So you're saying we should have received a letter from MSD?
Yes.
Let me check my mail, because I live in that area.
Yeah. Where does Ward 1 come? Oh, Ward 1 cuts, has a little kind of cut right there, doesn't it?
Right.
Comes a little, yeah, I forgot about that.
Right, or long Crusade Avenue.
Yeah, it has a little, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's basically a sanitary sewer project.
It is.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to attend the public meeting next week.
Any other items under new business, or, you know, it's a pretty
important question. Just a few days ago, there was a drill rig sitting right out at the corner here, and there's currently a drill rig just north of Lewis Park again. Mm-hmm. So what are they, what's going on?
That's a, those are exploratory subsurface examinations, well, pulling samples, and what MSD is looking for on that is subsurface conditions in this area to inform their decision, later decision on the those waste storage tanks. And so whether they can be placed somewhere here, that was the, that was mostly the Hema Park discussion pretty much after the other location was not preferred, you know, in our community. So this is MSD's now the examination for where it can be. They know where it cannot be.
Yeah, they got that message. We came.
Yeah.
And you're talking about the where they were going to put it, sort of in that corner of the park over there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, so these are quarrying operations?
Right.
They're taking core.
They're, yep. That's what they, they've been doing. They've been drilling for core samples to determine if they can put it in the park.
Right. Yeah, they're taking some in our yard here, the public works yard. They did some in the Hema Park area. And so MSD has this comprehensive solution, as they call it. And so in their letter to Mr. Rose last year, I think they outlined this waste, this one maybe method of doing this together with another project that they had already planned for this area. We don't know yet what that project is, but they call this a comprehensive solution. So kind of combining the waste storage project together with another project that they had planned for our area, and come up with that as their comprehensive solution and present that to us and our community at that time. And so, you know, the question of whether, you know, if it's considered for Hemon Park, what is this boring about here? Or, you know, they're boring in other areas, like right across the road from here, they were boring right by that bank there, channel bank there. And so I think that goes together with their other project and how they can make this a big one project, one big project for our community. And they are looking into this, whether it's feasible or not. And so that's what they are doing. Yeah.
Any other items under new business or just general discussion, for lack of a better term? Barring that, the chair will entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Do I need to ask if anybody's going to vote no? Do you need to bother? Really? Thank you. Nice meeting you.